All right, welcome to Implant Insight. Jeremy from Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash the donate. Send the much-needed fundage to keep free speech alive. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. I hope you all have had a great day. I have. I'm back to painting full-time, and I love it. Painting up at the lake, by the way. I was just up there today at the Kentucky Lake, and I stopped in a particular store to get my customer a gift, one of my best customers of all time, by the way. A great elderly couple that lives on the lake. They just say, I don't have to bid it. They just say, do the job and tell us what to write the check for. Anyway, I'm picking them up a gift, and several other stores were closed that I went to at first. And I went into this one particular store, and I told the lady, well, I'm glad you're open. You know, these other stores are closed. And she goes, well, why is that? And I said, well, for George Floyd Day. And she was just like, ah. And you could see the frustration all over her face. And she started going off, oh, why is this? The banks are closed too. And we give them a whole month in February. And it's just, we just have this back and forth. And it's kind of refreshing to see other white people that are sort of frustrated with this. Because things like Juneteenth, I mean, it's not about being nice to black people or giving them anything. It's about rubbing it in white people's faces. It's about demoralizing. And the people who are in control of this country, and in most countries of the West, that would be the Jews, the Jewish-dominated elite. They want to let us know that they control this country and that they're going to give a lot of our best resources to those who are benefiting from white Western civilization. And they're also going to give them to the third world, while white homeless vets and even black homeless vets are laying in the street hungry. They don't get expensive motel rooms and food and all of this government assistance. So it was nice to hear that from another white person. And you know, I have breaking news for Juneteenth. It's an older clip, but it still checks out. If you would play the Eddie Murphy clip, please, Julie.
Well, there will be a national holiday coming up a little later this week. Thursday will be Lincoln's birthday. So here with a comment is Eddie Murphy.
Thank you, Gail.
Welcome.
Okay. You know, being the President of the United States is a very trying job, and with the hustle and bustle of being President, a lot of things get left forgotten or just plain left undone. Such was the case with, up until now, my favorite President, Mr. Abraham Lincoln. I'm holding in my hand a copy of the original Emancipation Proclamation, and when I was looking it over, much to my dismay, I noticed that Lincoln forgot to sign it. I don't think that's funny, okay? Because technically that means that slavery was never abolished, and that means that technically I'm still a slave and you're still slave owners. So tomorrow when you're out, if you happen to see a black person that you like, by all means, take him home with you. Now, I'm aware that not every black person in the country watches this show, and we all know that grabbing black people on the streets can be quite dangerous, don't we? So we're going to need a code, a password that we can use to find out if the Negro of your choice has seen this broadcast. The password will be, hey, you black Alabama porch monkey, come with me, I'm your master. If he comes with you, he's seen the broadcast, you're home free, by all means, enjoy your Negro. But if the Negro replies,
say what?
He hasn't seen the broadcast, and we suggest you smile, give him $50, and run your white buns off. Back to you, Gail.
Can't get away with that on SNL anymore. Those were the days. Just trying to add a little bit of humor as we watch the country collapse. Well, the federal government collapse anyway, which is not a bad thing. I want to get to some more serious issues here. I reviewed a video this morning on YouTube sent to me by Paul in California. It's a very good video, and it's just a little less than an hour long. It's not a long watch, and I'm going to include the clip of it, the link on the show description tonight. And it's entitled "Looking for Clues in the Canadian Fires," and it's done by Healthy American. Still reading this script here. Yeah. Anyway, like I said, the link will be there in the clip. I'll get the full name of it as soon as my phone starts working. But it's really a visual thing. This is a forensic arborist. I can't talk tonight. That would be a tree surgeon. Robert Brame is his name. And he has done a great job of collecting a lot of video evidence and photographs of the aftermath of these fires. And he's noted and documented several anomalies. He's analyzed over 38 California fires, and he has hundreds of photographic evidence. I'm reading out of the script here. Evidence that implies that this would be impossible for normal fire behavior. And so this is a very good watch. I'm gonna have just a few short couple minute clips from it, just to give you a kind of a taste for it, kind of a feel for it. But it really is a visual thing that you need to watch to see these things for yourself. Because a lot of people say, you know, you've heard, well, these fires are started on purpose and energy weapons and all of that. And you're like, okay, whatever. But when you see some of the photographs in this and the evidence that he's collected, like trees that have the most moisture and most olive trees burning from the inside and from the ground where, you know, maybe certain metals are, you see fences where the nails burn holes in the wood and the entire fence is not consumed. He's documented tires that have been left behind and the steel belted tires burn up. While the other tires that are not steel belted, they lay there intact. And as a matter of fact, the ground under them isn't even burnt. There's a ring on the ground under them. So I want to play just a couple of these clips and we'll have a little commentary and then maybe take your calls, you know, after this first break or pretty close to it, if you want to go ahead and start lining up. So Julie, if you want to play that first clip for Looking for Clues in the Canadian Fires.
I've been to 106 trips now to 38 fire aftermaths. Only three were natural, where the trees burned. All the rest were something unnatural. So here's your normal tire. This one didn't melt at all, and the ground's black. It didn't melt, nothing, no disfiguration. That's what I see on the label, a polyester core. There's no metal inside. That one's completely left alone. Then you see these. There's your steel belt inside of a tire. 90% of the time, this is what I find. The rubber is completely gone. You can find zero rubber every time, and the steel belts are showing up. And then one out of a couple hundred tires is like this. Same area, same ground. And I move the tire to look underneath. There's a ring in the dirt. It's been sitting there. Nobody just put it there out of the blue. Polyester core, they're unaffected. Now, normal wood fires don't attack a tire just because it has steel belts in it. No, it's something else. Same thing here. The rubber is completely gone. I've never seen a partial burn tire. I've seen thousands of tires already. This is where the blonde lady is in jail up in Reading. They're framing her for this fire, and she couldn't have started this in her wildest dreams. This fence line is still here. I was here in February. The whole fence line only burned at the ground and where the nails are attached to the fence or the wires attached. Nothing goes like that. No way. I came up with a new idea. The ground itself is on fire. That's why tree trunks are burning into the ground. Wood poles like this are burning into the ground. And I think that's mostly due to the metals that are present in the ground, whether they're ferrous or non-ferrous. The ground itself is on fire. I won't get into the spray area. That would be Dane Wigington to do that.
Yeah, we've had a couple of videos on that, but there definitely are connections making things more flammable. But these pictures are, you know, hard evidence right here.
I, I generally see a picture on the internet and I get in a car and I drive to the fire to check it out. This is again the Oak Fire in Mariposa area by West Yosemite. This was an old botanist lady I found from the neighbor. She had flowers everywhere. And here's this fence board. It's the top piece, actually. I stood it up to get a better look at it. It only burned where a nail was. Some of them fell out, but you can see the nails when you look close. The only place that board burned is where the nails were. So what was on fire? The nails, not the wood. That was secondary. Same board. Some of the nails fell out when I was moving it around, but there's still, what, three of them in there. Okay, this is not normal at all. Why would the nails be on fire? Another fence. And I see this in every aftermath. I'm just picking out the best, clearest photos so people can really understand what's going on. The hardware is on fire, and the wood is only burning as an after effect because of close proximity. Different types of metals, sometimes the barbed wire areas, if they're wrapped enough, that'll burn more. But it's generally nails, screws, bolts, and hinges. These are all different fences from different aftermaths. Something I've never seen in my wildest dreams. See, they're all different. One after another. Fire doesn't burn nails and then go out. And your media, of course, is going to tell you it's the flying embers, the flying ashes. All six media giants, the flying embers. Well, I didn't know flying embers are attracted to metal. That's a new one.
Exactly.
So like I said, it's really something you have to watch. But even just from the audio description there, you can hear that he's really hitting on some just amazing things here that I'd never really thought about or even looked into. The channel here is the Healthy American Peggy Hall. The Healthy American Peggy Hall. I don't know what her other content is. I don't know if it's good or bad, but this particular video is the one that was sent to me that I watched today. And again, you know, the explanation, embers flying around, I mean, that sort of sounds like, oh, Building 7 fell because debris fell over and, like, caught it on fire and it collapsed perfectly, like controlled demolition. It's kind of that feel for the explanation of these things. And again, I never put much stock into this, but it makes me want to check into it more, as well as other stuff like the chemtrails and all of the things that they poison us with. There's one more clip that was in the last few minutes of the video where he's sort of coming to some analysis. And again, I don't want to play like large portions of this because it's really something you got to watch. But let's play that last clip, Julie, and we'll finish up on this where he comes to some of his conclusions.
Anything?
I like it. I'll just have three things to add. Even when they finished their game of burning down the forest of the whole planet, everything will regrow. In 100 years, everything will be back just the way they want it. When it comes to trailer parks, they're low-income people, fixed income, over 50 years old, say. That they've put their whole life in working. They bought their trailer park, their home. It's burned to the ground. They have nothing left. They either perished or they're moving to the stack-and-pack mega cities. First thing I notice, I look for the trailers. A lot of them aren't trailer parks. There are people out in the country that just have trailers. They're the first to go. Paradise had 10 trailer parks, all 10 eliminated completely. I've analyzed it 3 years later, but they couldn't hide the evidence. I already found the evidence, even 3 years later. The insurance thing, you're probably partly right. But the other is, if you haven't paid for your house outright, because if you have, you don't have that fire insurance. The ones that haven't, now you can't afford it or can't get it. Guess what? The bank takes your house back. Back to the city you go, back to the city, because the next house will be the same thing. And I believe all your insurance people, at least at the top, are on the same page. And it could be a state thing also, but that's another way to get you out of the countryside. Besides taking away the propane, that's coming. Deborah Tavares told me propane will be obsolete. You can have all you want, but there'll be nobody to deliver it to you. So you won't have a propane gas at your cabin anymore. No electricity. They're finding ways to stop you from having your well, your spring, your windmill. That's terrible to the groundwater. That's a no-no. That's not sustainable. And growing your own vegetables, of course, at home and on your little tiny balcony, your postage stamp balcony. Well, you might grow one tomato, but they don't want you to grow your own food. It's all about they give you everything. So you live by whatever the government gives you. You can't be at all self-sufficient. And that's the plan. And other than
so, yeah, some of the same conclusions that, you know, a lot of us have been talking about, getting people out of the country, targeting certain people, could be one of the purposes of this. They talked about the trailer parks, trailers out in the country, not necessarily entire parks, but ones out in the country. And the video goes through that as well. It thoroughly documents these fires with, with trailers. Getting you not sufficient, not self-sufficient. So well water, they mentioned the wells. I went through this with our little small town church. Just a little something here. We had a well and we did an addition, which means the county had to come out and do an inspection. The first time the county had been out in decades to this little church out in the country. And they were hitting us with like $1,200, $500, $600 inspections, telling us we had to have this well water tested every month. And the tests were always clean and clear. I've been drinking out of this well for 5 years. It's my water source. I get coolers full of it. I don't drink tap or bottled water. And I know it's clean and good. And the test revealed that it was good, but yet they insisted that it had to keep getting tested. I was on a committee. Then I had to call our representatives in Kentucky and an EPA representative in Paducah. And I had to basically threaten them. The Southern Baptist Convention is good for something. We were able to get them to back us on a lawyer, and we finally got them off our backs to where we could just do a very inexpensive test every month, like the basic minimum. But the point is that people are getting targeted that have their own well systems. And this happened to another church in the area. They were a lot bigger out in the country. They had a lot more income, and they just didn't want to fight it. Like, they ended up tying into the county water system instead of fighting it. And they spent well over $30,000 doing so. It just really was a crime, is what it is. But getting back to this video on the fires, I wanted to read a few of the comments just to give you a feel for people's reaction. Fred Clement says, I'm a retired firefighter in Sonoma County, and I have pictures of all the same evidence that I saw after the fires where I live. Thanks, Peggy. Mary says, praying for this forensic aberrist for his revealing research. Bring says, thank you for covering this. It's incomprehensible that these criminals continue to get away with this destruction. Catherine says, this man is an absolute encyclopedia of information on this topic. God bless him. Thank you so much, Peggy, for bringing him on. Tammy says, I met a lady from Paradise who barely got out. She showed me pics of her property when she returned later. There were things in her yard and trees that you would just know should have been incinerated along with her house, but weren't. Made my hair stand on end. It made no sense whatsoever. Ray Love says, I live 20 blocks directly from Ground Zero. The amount of trucks moving out the steel beam rapidly didn't faze me, but then I realized a decade later I was thinking something is off with what I'm witnessing. Stephanie says, in New Jersey, we've been told there are 3 fires going on right now and also the smoke is coming.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
So-called wildfires, and what I'm gathering from the video evidence, and that's the only one I've watched. I need to watch more before we do a real comprehensive broadcast on this. I just wanted to get it out there, is that whatever they're doing to start these, and it does seem like they're being started on purpose, it's I don't know if it's an energy. I'm not even going to say what it is, but for nails to burn out of a wooden fence board and trees to burn from the inside and only steel belted tires. I mean, this stuff, it's almost as if some sort of energy is targeting these things that are metal and the things with the most moisture in them is what it seems like. And I was just looking at the media coverage on this, Guardian.com, one of the few articles that didn't have a paywall. Canada's fires are getting fiercer and rebuilding is becoming a challenge. So we sort of see which way this is going. We can't rebuild. We got to push you into cities, right? This year's spring wildfire season has been the worst on record in Canada, with more than 5 million hectares of land burned, a figure higher than the entire 2016, 2019 through 2022 seasons combined. Already this year, more than 200 homes have been destroyed. So where do these people go? And why is rebuilding an issue? Especially when the governments of the West seem to just be able to print money and come up with money. Perhaps this would be a good, if we're going to spend money on something, rather than wars, this might be a good place to start spending the money, is finding these people homes and rebuilding. With warmer, drier months still to come, the experience of those who saw their lives destroyed in previous wildfires raised larger questions about Canada's ability to rebuild after disaster, and its commitment to victims in the months and years after the flames are extinguished. In the days leading up to the Lytton fire, the surrounding region of British Columbia had broken heat records, at one point reaching nearly 122 degrees Fahrenheit. That is nuts. I didn't even know that. And the arid land was more parched than normal. So this gets into, and guys, like, we're getting into stuff that I don't usually get into, okay? I'm not denying that the forces that control this globe have the ability to alter the weather. I mean, if they can harness the power of nuclear energy and some of the technology that we have, and I mean, surely that could be a thing. I mean, seeding the clouds, that's a thing. They're spraying all kinds of things into the air. We see that. If you go on with the theory that, you know, the weather is being altered on purpose and record heat, I mean, that's almost unbelievable, 122 degrees. Just before these fires, I mean, you get a perfect storm with whatever it is that they're using to start these. Again, I don't know, and I'm not even going to speculate. I'm just starting to, like, break the crust of this and sort of get into it. Also, you have wind. The wind that day was just tremendous. And then the heat, everything was so dry. Again, that perfect storm. The winds whipped the fire into lightning. It took 30 minutes for most of it to be destroyed. Residents returned briefly to tour the damage. So, you know, you probably got this thing where you have areas where you have all these anomalies, like I pointed out in the video, where fences and trees don't burn completely up, but they burn in weird patterns, like around the nails and inside the trunk and from the ground up. But then probably, like, real fires do probably spread from this, and then you get total damage. So you probably got this combination so that they can show plenty of footage of the actual fire that started from this, you know, man-made fire, this contrived event. And they can say, well, look, this is all, you know, this is all natural wildfires. Look, here's the evidence and all that. And they'll completely sideline this tree surgeon that put out this great video with all this evidence. They completely sideline these people and just don't cover them. And that's what they do when they want to hide stuff. They, you know, with the Jews having complete control of the media, they can really push and highlight things that they want to push and marginalize and just completely bury anyone that comes up with any narrative to the contrary. We saw this in COVID. Many reputable doctors were marginalized, sidelined, maligned, licensed, threatened, and stripped. Lawsuits now. And anybody that doesn't go along with their narrative. Same thing in Black Lives Matter. The same thing. And it's been going on for a while, hasn't it? Decades. I mean, you could probably even say back to the mid-20th century. You could even say back to, you know, the Lusitania. Pearl Harbor. It's just the ability to manipulate the public, because that's what democracy really is. It's not where the people rule, it's ruled by the media. It's brainwashing the people. We should be on a break. I'm not hearing the music, but I'm going to go ahead.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
So we're coming back to In Plain Sight, bottom of the hour. Taking your calls live on your Monday night drive, 512-248-8252, if you want to weigh in on any of the content thus far. So meanwhile, while the media continues to manipulate and they're burning down properties, smoke, record high temperatures, the deadly vax, and you do hear about a lot of died suddenly articles, there's a lot of those out there, somewhat what should be healthy people and decently healthy ages dropping dead, even teenagers are getting severely sick, heart attacks and whatnot, myocarditis. You got all that going on, and meanwhile the media just keeps on rolling it out. We need to focus on this election. It could be the most important election of all time, because look at what the government is doing to Donald Trump. The indictment. Well, let's get excited about that, because if they keep this up and bog him down in legal battles, then probably he's not going to get to run. Or if he runs, then it's going to be something that the competition can use against him. So we're to focus on this circus of the indictment. And then all of these other candidates. First of all, is Joe Biden going to run? He's too old to run. Even his own party don't want him to run. There's that. We don't want Kamala Harris. Oh, what about the dude in California? You know, he would be a good guy. He's young. He's like close to 50. Newsom. He's got that smile like a greasy, slick Baptist preacher, right? We're to worry about that. Also, you got Vivek Swamy, the dot-headed street defecator, as well as RFK. All of this circus to distract us from the poison in our food, in the air, and the fact that these people are most likely, and from the evidence that I've seen in the video, are starting these fires. Let's go to the call screen. We got Paul up first. Paul in California, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? I missed a good part of the first part of the show, I'm assuming you were talking about that video I shared with you?
Yeah, about the first 20 minutes, we played a couple of clips, and we'll have the link on the show description for them to watch it. But yeah, we covered that pretty thoroughly and wrote some comments on it. It's quite amazing, and I never put a lot of stock into these sort of things, but it's making me want to dig even further.
Well, I can personally tell you, yeah, I was absolutely blown away by this one because it's so much more detailed than other things I've already seen. But yeah, we're likely dealing with a fairly sophisticated set of weapons, not just one thing, because they have some sort of device. If you looked at photos that were online before, you can still see them of blasted out remains of houses and buildings. I mean, I remember the first, I think it was the Santa Rosa fire, but there's been so many. As you saw with that video, there's so many of these fires, some small, some large. And essentially, there was the one that just blew my friend's mind. This was probably 2017, maybe, or 16, 18, right in there. A friend of mine, he's not that, you know, conspiratorial. I used to work with him. And I showed him pictures from some of these fires. And one of them was just so profound. It was like an old McDonald's or Burger King or something in a parking lot. So literally there was just like asphalt around, and you know, there was a few trees and shrubs and bushes, but it was in like a suburban parking lot, a fast food restaurant, and it was literally just disintegrated. It was just like blasted out. And my friend just looks at it, and you know, he's no, like I said, he's just a neophyte to all the kind of stuff that, you know, I've been looking into for years, and he just says, "No way. No way." And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "There's no way a fire did that." I mean, he just knew. He's a regular guy. He just knew a fire would not do that to a building. And another one of these videos actually showed what a fire looks like. They showed houses and the way they, like, apartments and houses and other buildings, when they catch on fire and they have a fire, what a fire looks like. And, of course, there's all sorts of structures remaining, and there's a lot of black, and it's all burnt out. And a lot of stuff that we were seeing previously was just a bunch of gray and white ash with very little remaining. So apparently they got some sort of weapons platform that can do that. And it's, so we got problems, Houston, as they say.
And in the past, I would have dismissed it and been like, okay, you know, somebody probably struck a match, or, you know, if they did start it on purpose. But the evidence, the photographic evidence in this video from that Robert Breen presented, and even in the comments, I read some of the comments on this YouTube video, and one of the first ones is a retired firefighter from Sonoma County that just says that he has many of the same types of pictures and types of evidence, and he, you know, collaborates. Just mind-blowing. And, you know, I'm cool with covering politics. I mean, I devote the entire Tuesday night show to that. And but here's the thing, like, if our votes did count, even if they did count, and there's 8 states that still do mail-in ballots, who is it in any of the candidates that's going to do anything? You know, none of them. Absolutely none. So even if we could get what would be our guy in, they're not going to do anything. And even if they would want to do something, they would just be bogged down in red tape. So that, it's all a distraction. And we got some callers. Do you have some more comments on that? And then maybe if you want to stay on, we can handle some callers.
Yeah, I'll just say a couple of words and then I'll hang out. Thank you, Jeremy. Yeah, it's a precise point that you just made, and the same one that I've been making for years, and I've always gone by the 2 or 3 things that no politician will touch, and that's why, to me, voting was useless. It was the real story of the Federal Reserve and exactly how the money system we have robs everyone for generations. The chemtrail, you know, weather modification, biowarfare phenomenon, right? And then the actual truth about 9/11. And if no politician will ever, leave alone naming the Jew, right? So if no politician will ever do that or touch this power structure, then, you know, it's like we're in a cage and we get to vote for who's the head person in our cage. And even then, I don't know if they're going to make the life in the cage any more, bearable. So, yeah, for the moment.
And I haven't completely disconnected from politics. There's some great, you know, legislatures in Kentucky I've reached out to. They've helped my church out. I shared a story where the EPA was coming down on our country church for having a well, and we did an addition, and they're trying to, like, you know, strong arm us for all this money to do inspections. And I got one of our politicians to help us that there is some benefit maybe in local politics where, depending on where you're at. But overall, it is just a huge distraction. If you want, let's go to some calls. Got some people lining up here. We got Timothy in Washington. Timothy, you're on.
Yes, Jeremy. Yeah, great show. As far as the climate manipulation or the climate change or whatever, you only can do that with an enclosed system. So you may want to check that out. That is how they're able to do it, is that we do live in a realm in an enclosed system. But that's not why I called in. It's, well, maybe it is, because it does have to do with judgment. But, Jeremy, I just need to say, before we go into this cold, dark, demonic night, and the full weight of this judgment drops down on all of us, we do need to basically lay the blame on who let this happen. Who's responsible for this? And some will say the Jews, nah, they're the serpent seed, they're just doing their job. Some say the Jesuits, ah, they're doing their job. Where the blame really falls, it was the 300,000 Christian pastors and the 300,000+ Christian conservative leadership, the elite, the Christian intelligentsia, the Christian small business people. They refused to politically organize us and form the 435 congressional conservative councils. Instead, they just completely politically abdicated. They chose instead to build a kingdom, a business, a ministry, grab a bag of money. And it was because of their ego and their pride, their greed, their cowardness, and their personal self-interest that enabled all these evil people to take over all of our institutions. But that's where, when the power goes out, go ahead.
Just a quick 2 cents, Timothy, and I'm very familiar with your calls and the way that you think, and you have a good mind, and you make you know, a lot of very good arguments. But I'm going to take issue with this idea that there's anybody to be blamed or at fault for, quote, allowing this to happen or letting this happen. I've heard this talk on other shows, other calls about allowing and letting, and I don't think that even comes into the equation. I mean, what can we do when somebody else embarks upon a campaign of criminal evil, right? I mean, if the guy up the street decides to do a chain of robberies, what can I do about it? If he decides to murder somebody, what can I do about it? You know, these people, we have enemies, obviously, and they've decided to embark upon a campaign of warfare against us, and it takes many forms, and we can't be blamed for that as victims. It's like blaming the victim of a mugging.
No, I'm not talking
blaming
about
the victim of rape.
I'm not talking about, you know, the average guy that's a carpenter and goes out there, or even a person that's maybe got a bank account of $1 million. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people that are charged as guardians. This is part of the contract.
These are rogue elements. In other words, I don't even know. See, there's so many questions the video like that brings up. And again, Jeremy said, you know, he's not put that much faith in previous ones, but I've seen plenty of previous ones, and there's zero doubt that they're using directed energy weapons, and they've been doing it a while. So I don't even know if the mainstream in the military knows anything about it. It's got to be a rogue element. It's operating outside. I mean, let's face it, the military is full of all kinds of people that are very compartmentalized, and they don't know what another, you know, one hand doesn't know what the other hand's doing. So there's some sort of, like, rogue element that periodically picks its spots and, you know, does what it does, makes the war that it makes.
Well, we know this. Yeah, but we already know. So, we got a whole subterranean world.
There's no pastors to blame, and there's no politicians to blame for this. I mean, it's just these people that are doing it.
Well, you're going to let me make my argument?
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me make my argument. Look, these people are charged. A pastor in a town, he's charged. You know, he doesn't get paid just to stand up and go to funerals or give his little 60-minute dissertation on whatever. He's charged to watch who is taking over the town council. And he should be united in a council of governed by 2/3 vote of all
you know,
the other people, the activists, the rich people. Why didn't they do anything? Why 94%?
Okay.
No, you're saying... The institution, you're talking about the institution of Congress. That's where all the money comes from. Yeah. That's what oversees the law enforcement. Those are the people charged at the end of the day, making sure that the government doesn't...
That's the problem, okay? This idea that somebody else is charged with this, or that this whole council thing, again, these people are completely outside the government, outside the law, okay? In other words, this is not any government bureaucracy that's doing this, okay? There's no... sorry about that noise. There's no council that's going to help us out of this. I mean, basically, you know, we have to get it in our minds of, you know, it's like those old science fiction movies. I'll leave it at
you. You don't think Congress should be investigating all these fires?
Forget Congress.
You don't think Congress?
Forget about that stuff. God, this appeal to politicians is
dead in the water.
Yeah,
why do you forget
about
it?
We have
forget
to think about
it.
I'll finish my statement, and then you can talk more. We can take another call. But I'm going to, at the risk of Fed posting, I'm just going to say, if you've ever seen those old 1950s and 1960s science fiction movies, you know, the grade B and grade C science fiction movies, when there was some kind of monster, what did the people of the town or the city do? What did they get together to do with the monster? That's what's got to be done. And ain't no council or government or congressman going to do it for us. God bless you, Tim.
We do got to move on, Timothy. I appreciate it.
I didn't get a chance to make my point. He ran interference. No, maybe he's one of these people that's guilty for not trying to organize us. Whatever. I don't know. Well, but you're not going to let me make the point.
No, you got plenty of time.
You made your point.
I want you to call back. We've got other callers. Appreciate it.
Sorry.
Thanks. If we could skip the break, Jules, we've got at least one more. I just wanted to make a point. This is something we touched on Wednesday night, Paul, and maybe we continue it. I think as far as the moral rot of the society, I mean, the churches and the pastors are responsible. There was enough Christian churches and people in the 50s and 60s to have stopped this. Now it can't be stopped. It's not politically anyway, and not even religiously. It's gone out of control, but I think the case you're making, Paul, is that even if we had stopped that moral rot, even if we had gotten better representatives in, there would still be elements that would still be doing this to us, poisoning and doing the fires and things like that. I think that's your point.
Yeah, I mean, more or less. I mean, again, it's a much longer discussion, but just the idea that it's somebody else's responsibility to basically, I mean, we have the right to defend ourselves, okay? And we know now where we're at.
Well, let's go to Arizona. Got Rick in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, well, white people are not revolutionary, so there's your answer. You know, I want to make a point that Patrick Slattery seems to make a couple, he's made it a couple of times in the last, oh, I don't know, maybe over a week, that the asset managers in New York, like BlackRock and State Street, are really not that powerful, because he says, you know, but the fact of the matter is they are, because they control the voting stock, all right? Not only do they manage the assets, but they manage the assets like they own it, because they do own it, because when you buy a mutual fund or a 401k or buy anything other than the stock itself, you sign over your rights to the voting stock to the asset manager. So when Larry Fink goes ahead and puts Carly Fiorina in as the CEO of Hewlett Packard, the most sophisticated electronics company in the world. She don't even know electricity runs her hairdryer. But she goes in there for a couple of years and gets rid of the profit-sharing program for the employees, and then she's gone again. That's what happens when you have, you know, this kind of power on Wall Street. And I don't know why Patrick Slattery doesn't even know that. You know, he's ignorant of that fact. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, I don't want to speak directly for Patrick, but I probably know him better than most. He doesn't want to go towards that there's a centralized power. He's a big fan of Kevin McDonald, and this is all just group behavior. And, you know, I respect Patrick. We have our differences. We try to focus on what we agree on. But I tend to agree that, you know, if BlackRock owns the majority of products that we consume, even if you do believe Bud Light and everything from Anheuser-Busch, well, guess what? They might own the large stocks of the Hofbräu, the beer that I like in Munich. They might own. So even if I quit buying from one place, they're not going to lose the money overall. They're getting it from another place. So I see that point. Paul?
Well, So there's a point to be made here, too, and it doesn't really have anything to do with, you know, what Patrick Slattery does or does not talk about, okay? And it's this idea of stockholders and shareholders and private capital essentially manipulating not just society but the government as well. So when you read what the National Socialists were about, what they wanted in their 25-point platform and what they wrote about the various elements of the platform, it was exactly opposed to what we have now. We've been sold a Jewish bill of goods where they tell us that these large blocks of capital and these corporations can do what they will in the name of profit. How many people would vote? If stuff was put to a vote, how many people would actually vote, okay, it's all right for BlackRock to buy 130,000 homes and to raise the rents? How many people would vote for State Street to own 10,000 apartment buildings and, you know, do all the stuff that's going on? How many people would vote for Monsanto to continue to promote Roundup and glyphosate? How many people would vote that we're going to genetically engineer a plant like soybeans or corn to withstand a poison, an herbicide, Roundup, glyphosate, and that we're going to plant this throughout the United States, and it's going to be over 90% of all the food in the marketplace is going to be genetically modified? How many people would vote for that? The whole this goes back to why we need national socialism, nationalism and socialism, and we do not need capitalism. Okay, that's the enemy of mankind.
And to that point, you know, up in Wickliffe, Kentucky, where the Mississippi meets the Ohio, is one of the largest soybean producers in the state, and they do lots of business with China. They very wealthy farmers. They're, I'm sure, not wanting to give up their profits to make sure that these soybeans aren't, you know, somehow genetically modified and all the Roundup that's put on them. They're not willing to give up that money. They want to keep that money flowing in. And they're probably, you know, we talk about the Jews, and it is the Jews, but some of these farmers are to blame too for, you know, basically keeping the ag representative in power that allows them to do this.
Right, right. Well, but that again reinforces the point, and then to further illustrate it, they've all been brought up. We've all been brought up and stewed. We've been stewed in this soup, okay, of grow big, maximize your profits, right? Make a lot of money. And the churches do have something to do with it for sure, but it's our system of government that has been taken over, and we've been subjected to this essential mind control, this programming of the way to think and the way to look at things. The one thing I will say, you know, going back to our religious discussion, when you read Catholic literature going back to the 19th century and even before, it's completely opposed to what's going on today, okay? So there is something to be said for running society on a Christian or a religious basis, as well as, of course, a national socialist basis. And the two really do not conflict, because it's about the best interest of the human family. That's what Catholicism in the end was about, is the human family makes up society, and what's in the best interest of the human family is in the best interest of society. And we can clearly see now what has taken place, and, you know, the remedy is maybe difficult, but it's clear enough, you know?
And, yeah, the Christians in general were of that mindset that the family should be strong, and a strong family builds a strong nation. You know, up until the 60s, that was the mindset of the majority of Christians, Catholic or Protestant, and that was all subverted. Rick, do you have some further comments before we conclude? You still there?
I think he dropped. I think
Rick left. Rick's gone. This does come full circle what we were talking about, yeah.
We're just going to add one more clue. I'm reminded of a line. It's a great movie, The Grapes of Wrath, you know, with Henry Fonda, the original. And there's a line in the movie where Henry Fonda is kind of just beside himself with just trying to figure out what's going on. It's pretty early on, and he says, it just don't make no sense. One man with 1 million acres and 100,000 farmers thrown off their land. It's a very profound scene, and the line has always stuck with me. It just don't make no sense. One man with 1 million acres and 100,000 farmers thrown off their land. And I think that bears with the discussion that we had tonight, Jeremy, and I'm glad you invited me to call.
Yeah, and, you know, there's something to be said about if you have a good state, if you have a state that cares about its people and that recognizes that families are good and that the health of those families are good and the health of the people, they're not going to allow these multi-million dollar farmers to make these reckless decisions that harms all of us. I would even agree with distributing the land evenly. When you're talking about something about farming where everybody needs to consume that food in the nation, if you had a government that cared about you, then yeah, the National Socialist model would be correct. Government take the farm. And no, I'm not talking about communism and collectivizing. Don't read into anything, listeners. I'm talking about a scenario where the government does care about you and where they keep these multi-million dollar farmers in check, because they're a huge reason why we're consuming all these poisons.
Right. And I couldn't recommend more highly two pieces of brief literature by Dennis Fahey, an Irish Catholic priest who wrote Money Manipulation and Social Order, 1943, and then also The Church and Farming. And both of those are excellent and talks about essentially taking care of the soil, which is taking care of the people. And that when you have a lot of farmers that are invested, they're going to want to take care of their own soil, and they're not going to want to exhaust it in the name of profit. So again, Dennis Fahey, The Church and Farming, and also Money Manipulation and Social Order. You can find both of those online. I have a copy of each, and they're excellent. And by the way, both of those are essentially National Socialism. But he was an Irish Catholic priest, and he wrote according to church doctrine, but they fit in with National Socialism for the most part.
Thanks a lot, Paul, for joining me. Thanks, listeners. Pat, Jeremy, Wednesday with Spiritual Health and Wellness, and Thursday with William. You got to stay tuned and be classy.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.